and welcome to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And this week we're not talking about Pride and police uniforms and so on. It came up in the news again this week as the Ottawa Chief of Police did a U-turn on his decision as to whether or not to wear a uniform at Pride. He ended up at 2 a.m. deciding he will wear a uniform at Pride. After some pressure from various police officers. Now, we want to devote a whole conversation to that. Unfortunately, we can't do that right now. We weren't able to secure guests in time. But that is not to say that there are very important conversations that need to happen. Now, you actually brought something to my attention.
Yes.
Which almost never happens.
Right, yeah, no.
I pride myself on being fully abreast of the news. It's the only time me and breasts go within 30 miles of each other. And
men also have breasts. They totally do.
You ruined my joke.
Men also get breast cancer as well.
Just get checked.
Yeah.
You know, stay safe. Also, testicular cancer, you know, have a feel. Right now, do it right now. Stop what you're doing and check right now.
Pull over to the side of the road.
If you're driving, pull over, double check.
Drop trow.
If you have a, if you're a friend, be prepared to check for prostate cancer. Yeah. We'll go through a step. No, I'm just kidding. So,
also, if you're currently cold, bear in mind you can get a better feel when things are warm and loose.
This is so true. Just actually, that's good practice. When you're in the shower.
Yeah. Or just hold a cup of hot coffee from Timmy's, and then while your hand is still warm, then have a cup of feel in Tim Hortons.
Yeah, and you're looking for any any bumps or lumps that you weren't aware of before.
Just anything that wasn't there when you were a teenager.
Yeah. That's anything that strikes you out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Well, with your testicular cancer check out of the way.
Even the women, be sure to check your testicles.
With that out of the way, moving swiftly on.
I mean, we need to be open-minded to the different experiences of bodies, right?
This is true. If you are a woman with testicles, also check.
For sure.
Actually,
I did read an article earlier about men who menstruate.
Really?
And the very awkward position of trans men who pass and who never bothered coming out to their coworkers because their genitals are nobody's business. And then one day they were caught without a tampon. And then, whoopsie daisies, guess what, everyone? So that's an awkward way to come out, by finding a red patch.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was a
well,
very...
What you do is you're like, ah, I cut my finger, and then you're good.
Just
who's gonna ask questions?
I don't know, roll with it.
No one would ask questions.
Just tell them your balls are bleeding.
Yeah. Oh, Sandra sat on my seat. Just blame Sandra. I don't know who Sandra is. Just blame Sandra. It's always
but yeah,
awesome.
So normally I read the more geek news. So like one of the big articles I read this week was a sociolinguistic longitudinal study on the science of interrupting. Turns out
sorry, what?
It turns out that regularly interrupting people makes you seem dominant, but it makes you unliked, which seems like a duh obvious moment, but the history of psychology is the history of proving obvious things wrong and also proving obvious things right. But anyway, so the article in question was actually a much more serious issue than that, and that is there are a series of missing men.
So this is the article other than the study.
Yeah, other than
the real serious one that we wanted to get to.
Yeah, well, I've decided to start reading Feedly first thing in the morning instead of like Facebook or something like that, because I'd rather read interesting news than get angry at my friends. Do not read Facebook until after you've had your second pot of coffee, by the way.
It should be measured in pots.
Well, I have a sleep disorder, so it'd be like cup for most people. But anyway... don't read Facebook until you finished your second pot of coffee. That's how you learn how to love your neighbor. But no, I came across this very concerning article about a series of missing gay men in the Toronto area where they've recently made a connection that there might actually be a case that there could be a serial killer in the Toronto area. Now, no bodies have turned up, so we can't actually confirm that they're dead. But there's three for sure, possibly five, and then there's speculation that could be up to nine. The other four don't really fit the profile, but they've also gone missing. But there are a series of missing gay men from the Toronto area, all of whom are between sort of 40 and 55. approximately the same build, approximately the same complexion. There's a profile being built of these individuals, and usually when you have people who are quite predictable in their behaviors, places they go, going to work, friends they visit, and all of a sudden they stop doing it, and there's no change in their bank account activities, then this is a very...
Yeah.
This is very concerning. Some of these date back to 2013. And at the time, it was just a missing person. But now that there's enough people matching the same profile, they're starting to take it quite seriously like this. Now, not all of them use technology. In the past, so I think when I mentioned this to you the other day, you mentioned there was a case in Australia where it was something like 30 gay men went missing?
Yeah, I'm going to just double check that whilst you...
Okay, but in that case, they were using quote-unquote social apps. So they're using, like, Grindr and Scruff and whatnot to attract people. Whereas in this case, it seems to be that there is a particular part of town that they're all suspected to have gone missing in. So if you do live in Toronto or know someone who lives in Toronto and is over the age of 40, then you should maybe... send them your love and ask them to take care of themselves. Now, one of the other five men who've also gone missing is about 21.
Yeah.
So if they are a part of this pattern, then it could be whoever it is branching out, or it could be not necessarily that they're targeting people who match, but they're targeting a place where people who typically resemble each other go. Which isn't exactly out of the ordinary, because if you've ever been to the Toronto scene, you know that certain bars attract certain clientele. So a lot of the core five that are suspected to be linked are regular members of, or regular attendees, I guess, regular clients of the Black Eagle. And so
I think I've been to the Black Eagle.
The Black Eagle tends to attract a certain crowd, and
I'm not of that crowd.
I'm not of that crowd.
I stuck out like a sore thumb.
The five missing men are the kind of people typical of that crowd, and so a lot
really,
yeah. And so there's a lot of concern over that. So, you know, take care. Don't go anywhere with someone you don't know. Make sure people know where you're going.
Exactly. Even if you're going to be promiscuous. You're doing a thing in a bush, let's say. Checking your email is obviously what I'm referring to here.
Tying your shoelaces.
You are tying your shoelaces with a friend you have just met who has offered to help you tie your shoelaces.
Mm.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Even in that scenario, meeting them around the corner because they really want to help you tie those shoelaces.
Yes.
Tell someone where you're going. Have at least one friend that you be like, yo, I'm going to go tie my shoelaces around this corner. If I'm not back in 10, my knots are really hard to untie. I don't know, like, you know, find a reason and a time, make a timeline, you know, be safe.
Yeah.
A lot of gay men forget about that. Now, I was actually thinking of Stephen Port, who targeted four young gay men in his 20s using Grindr, and these young men were actually killed in London. And this was a story that came up in 2005. But in Australia, they fear that gangs are targeting gay men for sport, and the Australian authorities are reviewing 88 deaths across the country. Yeah, so it's a very serious issue.
Yeah.
And you're also that's telling now. Me, that news story came out in January. Well, ooh, like recently.
Recently. So, I mean, bear in mind that anyone can download these apps and anyone can exploit these apps. And I believe it was in New York, but it was definitely you who told me the story that some time ago there was a series of honeypot robberies happening.
Yeah.
Where the profile is real, and there actually is some beautiful 21-year-old on the other line, who's other end of the line, who's talking to you, and you show up, and you know the guy matches the picture. You take him home, and he leaves the front door unlocked so his buddies can get in.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly they end in robberies, sometimes assault, because people don't want you to take their stuff. But from what I understand, it's not necessarily murder is not the objective, but assault can happen.
And I know that in Ottawa, about 2 or 3 years ago, we had men being targeted on Craigslist, because men on Craigslist are usually not open to their families. Mm-hmm. They usually have a bit more to lose. And that was robbery and assault. And that was in Ottawa, maybe 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had in Ottawa another incident. What was it? It was what was believed to be three people driving around and targeting gay men leaving a popular gay bar.
Right, yeah.
And it was only when the streets were flooded with cops for about 3 weeks straight that that behavior stopped. It was scared off. But hate crimes are on the rise.
They are, yeah.
They are on the rise. We don't have the statistics out for Canada yet, bearing in mind that LGBT hate crimes in Canada are ridiculously underreported.
Right, yeah.
But in London, UK, London Pride took the step of actually doing its own survey.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found was 42% of Londoners who responded. So just under half of everybody who responded to this survey reported having experienced a hate crime.
Right. In the past year.
In the past 12 months. And that, can you imagine every other gay person you see has been the victim of a gay crime, a hate crime.
Right.
That's astounding. Mm-hmm. That is truly astounding.
Being a victim of a gay crime is...
socks and sandals.
Well, or, you know... a beard that doesn't suit you.
Yeah. Hey! I know that. I know a dick when I see one. Just to bear in mind, the figures for a hate crime across the UK average is 18%.
So if you do experience something, or know one who's experienced something, there's two things that you should do. First thing you should do is report that crime.
Yeah.
And the second thing you should do is report it to a second agency just in case the first one doesn't pay attention. And this is actually something that's been happening a lot. Some policing agencies in Canada, and this is actually something they're falling under scrutiny for, if you report something that is very hard to prove, they may not even file the paperwork.
Yeah.
I think the policy is that you're supposed to file everything, even if it's groundless, even if there's like no witnesses, no evidence, you know, they were top to bottom wrapped in plastic wrap and there's no fingerprints and there's no way to prove anything. They should still file any report that comes across their desk. Now, it depends on what province you're in and what city you're in. Yeah. There's going to be different things. In Ontario, we have OIPRD, and I can never remember what it stands for.
The Ontario Office of the Independent Police Commissioner.
Right. Okay. So if you... if something happens to you and you suspect, the report may not go anywhere.
Or police something directorate.
Yeah. Review directorate?
Whatever.
I don't know. But every province has a second agency that monitors your local police. Sometimes there actually are ombuds for the criminal justice system in every province, and there's also one at the federal level. So most of them will accept reports, secondary reports. So you report to the police and you also report to the ombuds or these various reporting agencies, and you say, this happened to me and I just want to make sure that there's more than one agency looking into it. So if you don't trust your local police for some reason, which is actually something that's a very big deal here in Ontario, then there are other systems in place. Depends on where you are in the country. You're going to have to ask Mr. the Google.
Yeah.
Mr. the Google generally is good at answering questions. Although sometimes you ask Mr. the Google for something and it just shows you booby pictures.
Safe search on. Always safe search on.
It's the way what? To
safe search.
No, that's false. Safe search optional. But when it comes to issues like this, yeah, safe search on.
Yeah. So it is important that we kind of get across here that you need to take your safety very seriously.
Yeah.
There is a hate crime in Canada against a lesbian, gay, bi, or trans person, or somebody who thinks that that person is lesbian, gay, bi, or trans, every 2.5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So what day are we today? We're recording this Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday, yeah.
So by Wednesday, somebody's been the victim of a hate crime.
In Canada.
By Sunday, there's another person that's been the victim of a hate crime. And that's based on 2014 figures. It's probably higher than that now.
It's been going up. They just haven't necessarily run the stats. It takes a couple of years to run the stats for these things. It's really frustrating that there's only old data.
So there was a website set up by the Canadian government and the BC provincial government called hatecrimebc.ca.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, it gives the advice that when reporting a hate crime motivated by a sex assault or identity, your sexual orientation or gender identity does not need to be disclosed.
Right, yeah.
To officers. If you're saying, I believe this was a hate crime on XYZ grounds, they ask, are you a homosexual? You don't have to tell them.
Right, yeah.
Because a hate crime is what... It's not on who the victim is, but rather who the perpetrator believes the victims are.
It can affect the data gathering if you are willing to disclose, but you don't have to. That's not... what the law requires,
And any information you do share with officers, if you do report it, isn't going to be shared publicly.
Yeah.
It's aggregated at the national level,
but
it's not shared publicly. No.
So after that cheery bit, are we ready for our first song?
Maybe, but...
Should I talk about, like, more nerdy things that I read in the news? Somebody made a stop motion animation using atoms and an electron microscope. It was, I think it was copper dioxide atoms, and they made an animation about the nature of atoms. It was, so, I mean, you can look that up. that's happy
actually,
news.
It won
an award, too.
I've got one last related news story, and it's a bit of a Debbie Downer. So this is just to keep you in the loop. There was a news story that released this week. 44-year-old Matthew Christian met a guy on barebackparty.com. And this person identified as bisexual, but this person was not out to his family, his wife, or anybody else.
Right.
But he was bisexual. And you know what? If you want to explore your sexuality, that is on you.
Yeah.
You know, we obviously always recommend communication with your significant other in any scenario. Mm-hmm. Talk about it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what's going on? Talk about it. You don't know you? Talk about it.
It's not cheating if there's an agreement.
This is true.
Yeah.
Talk about it. Always just talk about it. That's my go-to relationship advice. Talk about it. Anyway, this guy, Matthew Christian, has been given a 22-week sentence, suspended sentence for 12 months, because he secretly filmed his rendezvous with this not openly bisexual man and posted it to XTube.
Oh, excellent.
Where 15,000 people saw it, and it was shared to several dozen websites before a friend of his happened to see the video and go, is that Frank?
Yeah.
I'm using Frank as a name here. And was able to alert him that he had been not only outed, but like his sexcapades were now public viewing.
Mm-hmm.
This was a major breach of privacy. And he was sentenced, suspended prison sentence for 12 months.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is the way the legal system works, at least here in Canada, is that when you are in public, you're in a public space and anyone can record anything. This is why you can record the police when they're doing their job. They have no right to stop you from filming because everyone in public is, you can film or photograph them. But in a private space, the rules are totally different.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, if they had done that in the forest, it wouldn't necessarily, like, it would have been much more of a legal gray area. So
no, I don't think so in the UK. No, it was.
Oh, it was in the UK.
It's being filmed with that.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
So, but this all speaks to, you know, if you're meeting up with somebody you don't know, to tie your shoelaces or whatever else you're doing,
as one does.
Yep. Play safe. Be safe and take your own personal safety very seriously. I think that was our moral lesson for the morning so far. Mm-hmm. I want to start off with a song that I really like. And this is by an artist that we just discovered today, because that's how we roll.
Right.
And it's by LP, which is out of Long Island, New York. It is a lady whose actual... It's the initials of a name. I've misplaced her name, but they go by LP, or she goes by LP.
Lady Pendleton.
It's not Lady Pendleton. But LP has issued the new song, When We're High, and it's a really nice song. It reminded me a bit of, like, Kate Bush. It made you think of, oh my gosh, not Kate Bush. Who was it that it made you think of?
Was it the one who sounded like Gwen Stefani's solo career?
Yeah, Gwen Stefani's solo career. And I was like, you know what? You say that? And I'm like, yes. Yeah, I can see it.
And yet you said Kate Bush anyway.
But there's elements of the song that was very Kate Bush. Because you're like Gwen Stefani. I'm like, yeah, okay. And then it went to like a weird verse bit. And I'm like, that sounds like Running Up the Hill. You know what I mean?
Kate Bush has very unique vocals, but her... I mean, I could see the instrumentation. Maybe not in the vocals, because the vocals are... Nobody particularly sounds like Kate Bush.
Sometimes Kate Bush doesn't sound particularly like Kate Bush.
It's actually true. That is actually completely true.
All right, we'll be back just after this. This is LP's When We Get High. Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And that was LP's When We Were High.
I am drinking tea right now.
You are drinking tea.
I am uncomfortably hot, and yet I'm still drinking hot tea for
I think that is ridiculous. I think you are a crazy individual.
Yeah. Something that actually you are quite aware of, because we used to be roommates, is that I don't summer well. Mm-hmm. I actually have a health condition that gets like 10 times worse in the summer. And there have been times where... you come home and you're like, how are you doing? And I'm like, do not talk to me right now. I'm in a bad mood. And you're like, I'm going to talk to you anyway. And I'm like, well, you know, play with the bull, you get the horns. And then I would snap at you and you'd be like, I don't know what I expected. And then you would go and read a book. And then, but I would always apologize eventually.
Yeah, yeah. When you're less cranky, when you cool down a little.
It brings physical pain to my meat.
Absolutely.
Not as a euphemism for my penis. I just mean like my whole body, my flesh crawls with discomfort in the heat. Anyway, we're not talking about that. What are we talking about?
We're talking about a child in British Columbia.
Okay.
Whose sex designation currently is you.
Is...
As in undeclared.
Undeclared. Oh, this is 5 years ago. There was a toddler born where the parents refused to gender their child. That's in Toronto.
Okay. This is a new one.
Tell your story.
Well, this is... They're calling it the first non-gendered birth certificate, because it's actually a birth certificate that says you. And they're having a bit of a fight with the Vital Statistics Agency in British Columbia. So, Cyril Alti Doty, or C for short, has been designated, and their parents are refusing to gender the child.
Right.
And, so it's kind of all up from there. And what they want to do is give the child the option to kind of make their own decisions.
Right.
So their parents are gender non-conforming.
Okay.
And... actually, this bit really annoys me. This is an article in Pink News, and they're like, they use the adorable hashtag queerspawn for their child, clearly not knowing that queerspawn was an academic term coined for...
It's like a 20-year-old.
Yeah, I know, yeah. It's a thing. Like, oh, Pink
queerspawn
News.
Queerspawn are the children of queer parents.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And quite often queerspawn are heterosexual.
This is true. So most people would be familiar with, for example, if you have two lesbian parents,
mothers, I suppose,
And you had a child of them. Actually, I fell for a guy who had two lesbian parents, and she had something like 6 kids, and none of them were gay. So disappointing, because they were all so handsome. It was just, like, not one of them. I mean, not even odds are in our favor at that point, but nope, not one.
6 boys?
Yeah.
None of them gay.
I know.
Usually by the 4th.
I know.
Right? Because that's, I mean, there's a whole bunch of...
with one that I was particular friends with, I had my fingers crossed, but no.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
They like ladies. Very disappointing.
But the birth certificate issue is actually kind of complicated, because there's actually 2 different kinds of birth certificate, and people, and by people I mean nations, are usually quite bad at clarifying what it is that we're talking about. So there's one kind of birth certificate, which is it's a medical certificate, a record of a medical procedure.
A thing has been born.
A thing has been born.
Yeah.
And there's the other one, which is a record of citizenship.
Yeah.
Now, in Canada, your birth certificate is actually your record of citizenship. It has very little to do with your birth. It means that you were born in Canada, but it's not a medical record. Now, because it is a record of citizenship, if you transition, then you can change it. But in countries that have separate birth certificates as a medical record and some kind of a citizenship record, which is also administered at birth, you can change your citizenship record but not your medical record, because your medical record is a medical record of birthing. And they feel that it's inappropriate to change that. But your citizenship, you can do whatever you want with that. Now, in Canada, we're using one document for both, and then you get really complicated things happening. So if you want to raise your child... in a non-gender conforming environment, but they were born unambiguously chromosomally male or female, that record is exclusive to Health Canada and the person for whom the record holds. And only you can look it up under it wouldn't even be a freedom of information. You would just request to get a hold of your records. But because it's private, it wouldn't necessarily affect anything, but your other birth certificate, which is your citizenship thing, is actually really quite easy to get your hands on. Like, the RCMP can look it up if they want to double check your identity, if they're doing a background check, security check, that sort of thing. You can use your birth certificate is usually how you get your social insurance number in Canada. And then through those 2, you can get like a passport. And so until you're maybe 16 or 17 and you start getting things like a driver's license or other kinds of ID, your birth certificate is your ID. And so everyone can lay their eyes on it until you start getting your other ID. And so from birth until around 16 or 17, when you start getting your other licenses and your other kinds of ID, your health card and that sort of thing, anyone can see it. And so I can understand from that perspective having you on your birth certificate. I think that's 100% valid, and that this is something that we need to defend.
And it's not shocking. So in Oregon, they recognize non-binary people on official documents. In Washington, D.C., they also now recognize X on identity document. This is all within the last week. Last month, California also took the step of recognizing non-binary people. Now, we have heard from Minister of Justice Wilson Raybould that the Canadian Attorney General, not Attorney General, Minister of Justice, that's the one.
Right.
No, I think it's both. I think they're both at the same time. Whatever. It's you know what I mean. You know what I mean. And
the head honcho of laws.
The Lodo Supremo has essentially said to a room full of people, trans folks, at the Senate committee hearings on Bill C-16, which did pass, said, we are working with Passport Canada to improve their processes, to kind of get Passport Canada up to date, because I was talking to a good friend of mine who said last month, they tried to fly to Europe. No, they tried to fly to the Maritimes within Canada.
Yeah.
And they had to get a doctor's note telling them that's why they're medically ill and that's why they don't match the birth designation on their passport.
Right.
Last month, a trans person that we know had to be medically designated as ill to fly to the Maritimes. I can think of a few places where you'd have to be medically ill to fly to, but that's another story. But it is a bit of a disgrace, but it is something that now with the passing of Bill C-16, that there's a bit of a pressure to get the Passport Canada
to hurry it up.
Absolutely.
Because your gender identity on your any kind of certification, we just use the word licensing or any kind of thing like that. Really what is just to do is you have, it's not even necessary because there's a photo. Do you match the photo? Yes or no?
Yeah.
But it's supposed to just be like extra evidence, you know, eyes blue, height this, weight that, gender male.
But people don't trust in Ontario. Agencies are no longer using the Ontario Health Card as valid ID because it is easy, apparently, air quotes, easy. Yeah. To change your sex designation on your health card, whereas it's much more difficult to do so on other documentations. So they believe the health card is no longer efficient. I went to Government of Canada office.
It's illegal, though, because it's an ID administered by...
It is a government-issued ID. I know, I agree with you, but
they security, have to accept it.
Security at a government department, I think it was the CRTC head office, or even Heritage Canada head office, would not let me in with a photo ID health card from Ontario.
Mm.
What they would let you in with a photo ID driver's license, or with federal government photo ID, but not the health card.
That's illegal.
It was the government of Canada that made that decision. It's all shenanigans.
It is shenanigans.
And clearly there's some work that needs to be done. So, I mean, I feel sorry for folks who are actually trans and the added hurdles that they face. But I've got a bit of a funny story.
On a similar note, you're actually not allowed to deny somebody payment in a denomination you don't like. So if somebody owes you $5 and they give it to you in dimes, you are legally required to accept that denomination.
Huh.
That's a law that actually exists. It could be, if you only have slots for bills, then what you're supposed to do is just stick it in a jar and deal with it later. So, I mean, it's something that a lot of people don't know about and a lot of people really don't care about. And if somebody says we don't accept coin, we only take bills, then you're just supposed to smile and nod and say, well, I suppose so. Just out of politeness because you're Canadian and you want the awkwardness to end because so many things didn't happen in Canada because people just want the awkwardness to end.
Yet,
strictly speaking,
Canadians have the last bite of shame. I don't get it.
Yeah, the bite of shame. Yeah, this is something.
Explain for the audience.
Yeah, I was actually at an event and I had the department that I was working with at the time was like 2/3 Persian. Just totally by chance that year it was 2/3 Persian. And one of the guys was just laughing, looking at the banquet table. And was like, what? He's like, you Canadians, there's this thing that I've noticed time and time again. said what? He like, look at the banquet table, and every single platter had one item left on it. And
so it could be a plate full of
there's like one
deviled
sandwich.
Eggs, yeah. And there's a deviled egg.
A deviled egg.
Yeah.
And he referred to that last thing as the bite of shame because, you know, no Canadian wants to be the one
to take the last
to
of
take,
the thing.
We all want to be polite. Maybe somebody else wants
it. Do you
it.
Want it? Do you want to know? You have it. You
yeah.
have it.
Yeah. And so he said, okay, watch this. He reaches over and he picks up a muffin. And then like a server comes out, takes away the empty tray and brings out more food. And he's like, what is wrong with you people? It's a catered event. Do you not see this? And then he started laughing because then he pointed another one because he said the bite of shame he also noticed with Brits. But the Canadian bite of shame, this is unique. And that was there is one platter that had half a bagel. And it's this thing that Canadians do where they'll take half of the last thing instead of we'll break it in half and be, oh, that's okay because there's a little bit left over. It's like a placeholder.
If somebody really wanted the bagel, they could have the half of
they
the
They could
bagel.
Have the half that was left oh over gosh. That was touched by somebody else's hands. Like there's everything yeah. about it is weird, but it's like this. It's really interesting. It kind of feeds into the social anthropology notion that like, the best way to study a culture is to have one insider and one outsider working together because you are blind to your own ways. I never noticed the Canadian bite of shame before this Persian guy started making fun of me. Now, I'm gluten intolerant, so that bagel was not my fault. But he was totally right. Yeah. Like the tray that had just like, you know, the grape stem where it's like the grape stem is completely empty except for two grapes holding onto the end. And it was just like that was on the fruit tray. And he's like, somebody eat those damn grapes.
I know.
If you eat those damn grapes, more strawberries will come out. And everybody loves strawberries. And so, fine, take the grapes and move it to another platter. Didn't even eat them. And then new platter came out, covered in strawberries. It was, he was
magic.
Right.
It's
he
magic.
Was right and we were wrong. So, but yeah, a bite of shame. Why didn't we talk about this?
It came up. That happens a lot.
Didn't we get a phone call or like an email recently
I don't
about
know.
Some other non sequitur that we had some
yeah,
time
Yeah, that
ago?
Happens a lot to us. But there is a Canadian story that is not remotely gay, but I thought was hilarious. And that is the RCMP in Craven, Saskatchewan.
Right.
Have some concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And the concerns of the RCMP in Craven, Saskatchewan is that people are having a very good time at festivals. And that's fine. You can have good times at festivals.
Is there too much smiling?
No. No. They're dancing. And they're dancing like no one's watching.
Right.
And, you know, my dad dances like no one's watching and it's not a good idea. But these people are dancing like no one's watching with less clothes on than is advised for people where people are watching.
Okay.
And essentially they would like to politely remind people to remain clothed.
Right.
At country concerts in Regina.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. So yes, if you're going to a concert in rural Saskatchewan,
yeah.
You're gently reminded to have a good time, but remain clothed.
Isn't Regina
if
on the
possible.
Edge of the Painted Badlands? Like, basically what I'm trying to ask is, isn't it a sunburn zone? Like, you know, I mean, if you are going to dance mostly naked at a music festival, at least wear sunscreen, you know? Grease yourself up a little
yep.
bit with the good
and
stuff.
We have a great quote here. This is the quote from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Right, a.k.a. the Mounties.
Yep. While the RCMP fully supports everyone's desire to have fun and enjoy themselves, we do ask that you please do so while wearing clothes. So there you have it, Canadians. Have a great time. With a shirt on.
With a shirt on, okay.
Courtesy of the RCMP.
Got it.
Now, moving from one item of clothing to another, Merrin Kadel.
Right.
At the time, Merrin Kadel, and the sweater. Now, I thought this was hilarious.
Yes.
It reminded me of something Savignon. What's her name? Lucy Savignon with Riading.
Oh, yes. Man, I can't remember her name. This actually came out...
And Babacqua?
Yeah, the Babacqua. So there's a period in the late 80s, early 90s, where spoken word pieces, it was a trend. Actually, one of my favorite spoken word pieces from the era, not the Bare Naked Ladies, the Dead Milkmen, who are a sort of late Californian punk band, and they mostly make goofy songs, so they have... You know, songs like Big Lizard in My Backyard. But no, they wrote a song called I Dream of Jesus, and it was a song about how the main character's mother found a whiskey bottle where if you rub it, smoke poofs, and then Jesus comes out and grants wishes.
Oh, wow.
And they also did one called Stuart, which is also known as What the Queers Are Doing to the Soil, and we should probably play it one day because it's hilarious. It's actually not homophobic. It's making fun of homophobes.
Okay.
We could play it sometime. But yeah, no, there's this period, and it's just a lot of spoken word pieces. And Leonard Cohen was actually big at the time as well. Mm. But anyway, this is Canadian content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why did you choose the sweater?
Because it's hilarious.
This is true.
It appeals to me because I remember feeling this way when I was a teenage boy about other boys and the desire to wear their sweater.
Well, give it a listen. Do you want to wear a sweater or not if you're in Saskatchewan? Oh my gosh. Well, clearly the people of Craven did not hear this song.
Right.
But you will, and we'll be back just after this.
I know you will understand this and feel the intrinsic, incredible emotion. You have just pulled over your head the worn, warm sweater belonging to a boy. Now you haven't had a passionate kissing session or anything, but you got to go on a camping trip with him and 8 other people from school. And you practically slept together, your sleeping bag right next to his. And you woke in the night to watch him as he slept, but you couldn't see anything because it was dark, so you just lay there and listened to his breathing and wondered if your heart might burst. The sweater has that slightly goat-like smell which all teenage boys possess, and that smell will lovingly transfer to all your other clothes. If you get to keep it for a few days, you can sleep with it, but don't let your mom see because she'll say, what is that filthy thing and who does it belong besides the trash man? So you have to keep it under the covers with you. You can kind of lie it beside you or wrap it around your waist or touch it on your legs or whatever, but that's your business. Now if the sweater has like reindeer on it or is a funny color like yellow, I'm sorry, you can't get away with a sweater like that. Look for brown or gray or blue. Anything other than that, and you know you're dealing with someone who's different. And different is not what you're looking for. You're looking for those teenage alpine ski chiseled features and that sort of blank look which passes for deep thought or at least the notion that someone's home. You're looking for the boy of your dreams who is the same boy in the dreams of all of your friends. Now the sweater isn't going to fit you, of course. You have to kind of roll up the sleeves in a jaunty way that says this is the sweater belonging to a boy, and the boy is a genuine hunk, a hunk of burning love, and this is not just some hand-me-down from your brother or your father. Monday, wear the sweater to school. Be calm, look cute. Don't tell the dream you had about the place the two of you would share when you get older. Just be yourself. The best, cutest, quietest version of yourself. Definitely wear lip gloss. He looks at you, and he looks away, and then he walks away, and the smell of the sweater hits you again, suddenly like ape scent gloriola, and you get a note passed to you by a girl in history that says he needs his sweater back. He forgot that you put it on in the tent on Saturday, and he's been looking for it. And you don't have to die of humiliation, you know. You are a strong person, and this is a learning experience. You can still hold your head up high as you run from the classroom, tearing the stinking sweater from your body. You look at that sweater, carefully, and you realize that love made you temporarily blind. You got a secret now, honey, and though you would never sink as low as him, you could blab it all over the school if you wanted. The label in that sweater said 100% acrylic.
Hello and welcome back to Cancria, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
You are Sebastian. That was very affirmative. I like it.
Well, some time ago I was at work and there's a guy around the office that you know by the name of Mo.
Okay.
Muhammad, right? And he, the first time I met him, the door just flew open and he jumped in the room and said, I'm here. And it was like that. It was like answering a question, like, I'm here. And I was like, what? But it's okay. That's, and it was just hilarious. And then if you know Mo, then that's 100% consistent with who he is. And it was just kind of hilarious. And I busted out laughing. And then, like, somebody came from the other room. Dave came from the other room. And said, what's the ruckus? And it was like, it's Mo! And he's like, oh! Anyway, it doesn't matter. Sorry. Total non sequitur. What were we talking about?
So I plan on talking about gonorrhea.
Oh! Which always makes you think of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Really?
Usually when I say gonorrhea, you say gonorrhea, 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 let me go. That's untrue. See, this is, we've known each other
I'm
this
just
long.
I'm a poor man in a poor family. Anyway, back to venereal disease. That's come up in conversation before. Yeah, on that wonderful note, the UN Health Agency,
yes.
As in World Health Organization, not Absolutely. As in a really bad time knock-knock joke. The World Health Organization estimates that 78 million people are infected with gonorrhea every year.
Right.
That is an awful lot of people. Reported cases have been increasing by 10% since 2015. So in 2016, it was a 10% increase. And gay men cases are particularly on the rise. Mm. So not all countries report, but we know that in France, for example, the number of cases reported for gay men doubled in 2 years.
Here's actually something that I read over the past week, because I do like me some geeky news. They've been testing out a vaccine against meningitis.
Okay.
Which disproportionately kills teenage boys. Mm-hmm. Well, babies and teenage boys. Which is a really weird connection. But anyway, what they actually found was that people who had this vaccine were also 31% less likely to get gonorrhea. And they may have accidentally, because they've been working on a gonorrhea vaccine for decades, and they may have accidentally
the problem is
stumbled across it.
They've been working on the gonorrhea vaccine for decades, but most pharmaceutical companies have just kind of stopped working on it. It's a loss leader. There's no money in a vaccine for gonorrhea. In fact, of all gonorrhea vaccines being worked on right now, guess how many there are?
Two.
There are three.
Oh, okay.
There are only three, at least according to WHO. As in World Health Organization.
As in the WHO.
The WHO, not doctor. We might get to that.
Well, there's also the classic...
The Who.
Classic rock band, yeah.
Yeah, The Who. Yeah. Clearly, people need to be more imaginative with names. Mm. Anyway, the World Health Organization...
Growing up, my mom's favorite band was called Yes. And it's really hard to talk about that
what
band.
What music do you want to listen to? Yes? No, like, what? Who? Yeah. What? Anyway, very confusing.
The Yes album was a fantastic album. But anyway, move on.
Moving on. Back to Who. And they said that there's only three vaccines currently being worked on. Because the minute you get one out, it doesn't take very long before it becomes resistant to that drug.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little while, I think last year, we were telling our listeners about super gonorrhea, which just makes me feel like it's an animated TV show by Marvel. Super gonorrhea. Or a catchy tune. Super gonorrhea.
Yeah.
Anyway, super gonorrhea is a thing. It is affecting millions of people.
Yeah.
And it is because gonorrhea is evolving and becoming resistant to antibacterials.
Everything.
And it's because if you're popping, you know, a Tylenol a day, or you're not appropriate, you know, taking your antibacterial medication appropriately, you're all helping to make super gonorrhea.
Yeah.
Essentially, if you did not take your meds properly, you're the fault of super gonorrhea. I'm not sure that's accurate.
Well, if you stop taking your meds when you feel better, that's
not how it works.
No, you're supposed to empty the bottle.
Yeah.
Not all at once, obviously, but like just keep going until the medication.
Yeah, follow the routine outlined until the end of the medication period.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, whatever you have could become resistant to the medication they gave you. And if you should pass that along, like, say, gonorrhea, then the next person down the line has a gonorrhea that is resistant to the medication they gave you.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll give this person something different. Then they don't take the full regimen of medication, and it becomes resistant to that. And then somebody else gets gonorrhea. And before you know it, gonorrhea's got a cape, and it's called super. It's just bad times. With that being said, there was also news in The Lancet, which is one of the world's most famous medical journals, The Lancet. And they
well, not in the New England Journal of Medicine, but let's not get fancy.
I said one of. Clearly, you're with the New England Medical Journal lobby.
They occasionally have a special article on rectal extractions, I'll have you know, and they're hilarious.
Oh, that is hilarious. Hilarious.
And they, whoever writes them tends to have a sense of humor. It's really
this
good.
This is true. So they found in a study of 15,000 young people that infections was cut by a third with this new treatment that they've developed, the vaccine, originally developed to stop an outbreak of meningitis B, which you mentioned.
Right, yes.
It's the same one, yeah. Was given to about 1 million adolescents in New Zealand between 2004 and 2006. That's a lot of adolescents. That is quite a lot of them. The University of Auckland analyzed the data and found a 30% decrease in gonorrhea.
Mm-hmm.
That is quite substantial. So, yeah, on the one hand, super gonorrhea.
Right.
On the other hand, meningitis and gonorrhea, 2-for-1, job done. Sail in the anti-vaccine world.
Gonorrhea is not a death sentence, but meningitis probably will be.
Well, gonorrhea could lead to infertility. It can lead to inflammation of the pelvis. There's a lot of... generally speaking, don't get gonorrhea or meningitis. Just avoid...
Try not to, but, meningitis, you can actually crush your own brain.
Oh,
yeah, because the meninges is the protective layer between your brain and your skull, and meningitis is just when it inflates. And so if that protective layer grows, that means your brain is getting squeezed. And so it can lead to blindness if it squeezes the optic nerve too much. It can lead to deafness if it squeezes the auditory section too hard. It's not pretty.
So we've talked about meningitis and gonorrhea and things that this study was about boys. And I'm going to talk about some things a lady should avoid.
Boys?
No, ladies. No. Touché.
Yeah.
Now, what ladies should avoid is gelatin, starch-based edible glitter, and gun Arabic powder combined.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my
God. It is a product called Passion Dust.
Oh, my God.
That is being manufactured by Pretty Women Incorporated.
Oh, I hate it even more.
And here's the spiel. And I'm gonna gussy it up a little bit. Sparkle and flavor to your natural vaginal fluids to make the experience of lovemaking that much more fun and enjoyable for you and your partner. Essentially, it is edible glitter that you put where you keep your shoelaces.
It's glitter discharge.
It's not good times. Why would you do that? It's ridiculous. And in fact, doctors are trying to convince people not to put things where really you ought not to be putting things. Things leave that general area.
Yeah. I mean, it'll look like the most fabulous of venereal diseases. It'll look like you've got disco fever.
Yeah.
With glitter discharge, and it's just...
Oh. I've got a word for you. Two words. Bacterial vaginosis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's inflammation of the vagina due to bacteria.
Yeah,
just from the name vaginosis. Alone, if you know your medical terminology.
Thrush.
Thrush?
Not the band.
You can get... No, that's Rush.
Oh, sorry. Clearly, someone who described the band had a lisp.
Yeah.
Oh, inflammation and infections. So, Dr. Jen Gunter, Canadian gynecologist, it's not a good idea.
And
it's
don't not. if you're a gentleman's gentleman, don't stick it up your butt either. That's not gonna
no.
That will not look like a good discharge. Also, anything that discharges out of your butt at any point in time is, you know, I mean, it'll be like Disco Santorum.
So this doctor, this Canadian gynecologist, essentially said, if it's not plastic, it's sugar. And first of all, don't put sugar where sugar shouldn't be.
No, you're asking for a yeast infection.
The problem was that they put sugar there with the glitter, and that's what the glitter is. This particular glitter, it's mainly sugar products.
Mm.
And they administered probiotics to kind of tackle the infection, but the probiotics were like encased in glucose to hold it together, and that further fed the bacteria. Right. So if you get a sugar-based bacterial infection current in your vagina, there isn't really an awful lot they can do about it. Like, it's just... So no.
Yeah,
that's our recommendation. A lot of health advisories on today's show.
Yeah.
Just don't. No.
I mean, you could also do something like rose
petals. Or just not. Rose petals. There we go. That's job fancy. Done. That is.
That's fancy. You should use rose petals. And it smells nice, too.
It is. Around you on the bed. Not, external use. Not rose petals.
Stuffed in there to pop
no.
out.
No. Yeah. No, it's like one of those party tricks where you pull the string.
They're called poppers.
Yeah. Different context when I've heard that before, but that's another story.
Well, actually, that would be interesting, like a vaginal party popper.
Don't give them ideas.
The skirt comes off and goes, oh!
Okay, so no, this gets worse. We're leading the Gizmodo article. Shazia Malik, another gynecologist, told The Independent that you run the risk of inflammatory discharge, which just sounds... But what it does is it could lead to tiny scratches within that general area.
Right.
From the materials.
The soft tissues.
Yeah, the soft tissues. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, you're doing, in theory, you're buying this product to have a good time. And we're not Yelp, but I'm kind of hoping our product review here sort of dissuades you.
We're definitely giving 0 stars out of 5.
Yeah. 0 out of 5 is, Amazon's not recommending this on my wish list.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so don't do that.
I mean, this is kind of related to, I think it was 10 years ago, there was a company in America that developed butt mints. And they were little suppositories that cleaned, it was supposed to make your fart smell better. Or have you not have farts that smell like nothing at all. And this was a thing, and it existed, and it was on the market. I do not remember if it sold or not. I just remember reading about this, these fart mints. I can't imagine them being good for your bacterial culture.
No. The answer is just no.
Yeah.
If anything, check for testicular cancer, super gonorrhea, and do not put anything in your vagina that doesn't belong there.
Avoid disco discharge.
Do not do disco discharge, and that's all from me.
That's also all from me. Thank you for listening. Take that test, all courage to your chest.